I ain't doing that.
All right, brother.
You want?
Good morning. Hey, everybody, enjoy their holiday, Thanksgiving. I tell you, I probably had the best Thanksgiving I've had in a long time, and I don't think it had much to do with external. It had a lot to do with internal. Last couple of Novembers have definitely been a winner for me internally, for sure. A valley, in a sense. But this year, I felt really good, and then also had some good time with family, and just a good season to be in. I hope you guys had the same. Today we're going to talk on Acts 25, but before we do that, we're going to do as we always should and make sure that we're bringing the main thing into it, which is Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you for waking us up. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for the breath in our lungs. Thank you for the fire, desire that you put inside of us. The Holy Spirit that prompts us to continue to draw near you, to renew our minds daily, Lord. Thank you that this is a safe environment to do so, Lord. Thank you that we allow to be a part of the body that can sharpen each other, Lord. We thank you for the sacrifice that you've given everything. You sacrifice everything so we can have a relationship with you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for each and every one of the men here. We thank you for the families that they represent, Lord. Allow them to lead well. We ask that you give us your word. Let this be your words and not mine, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Okay, Acts 25. Paul is in prison, kind of waiting arraignment. The Jews are really doing everything they can to use the worldly system to power and back their desire, which is to derail Paul's mission and calling on his life, which is to spread the gospel. A lot of times we come in groups like this and we just take for granted that we know a lot of the story. Some of us are missing pieces of it. A lot of us are just trying to put it all together to see what does this mean to me kind of thing when I read this Bible every day. Or we read names like Festus and what we got here? Agrippa. Is it King Agrippa the first, the second? You know, what is that in lineage? What is that even? Tons of people, moving parts in this. And so when I began to read this story the first couple of times, that's all it seemed to be, right? Places, names. What does all this mean to me? I believe whenever I'm gifted the opportunity to speak on chapters like this, my flesh says, dang it, I should have stayed with chapter 26. Yep. I felt like I could have nailed that one with whatever I already preconceived in my mind, my thought processes, my beliefs. And God does a great job of saying, Jeremy, we need you to call Eddie and switch it up and put him on 25, because we don't want him to be comfortable and feel like he can come up here and speak without thinking or praying or asking me to come into this. So truly, I'm grateful for opportunities like this, because it forced me to dive deeper into just prayer of, Lord, what do you want to speak on this? And I was reading this story over and over again, praying on it. I was at nothing. It was just nothing other than just trying to be a historian and look up facts about King Agrippa or this or that. And I'm like, he's like, I don't want you to do that. There's no fruit in that. Okay, there's no flex needed to show that you're some type of historian or a junior Pastor Dr. Scott, which I'm far from, y'all. But he said, I have gifted you and I have anointed you and I have spoke to you, and I just need you to sit here with me. And much like he does a lot of times, he uses my wife to speak to me. I don't know if any of you know my wife, Keisha. She's a blessing, the best thing that ever happened to me outside of my relationship with God. And I'm just stuck. I'm laying in the bed, I'm reading this thing, I'm listening to, put my headphones in, she's watching some trash TV, and I'm just like listening to Acts over and over again, just like, come on, Lord, give me something. And I take off the headphones and we start talking, and we walk into the bathroom, and I'm like, man, this story is just like blah, 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 blah. And I'm just telling her, you know, Acts 25. And we're just in a moment. She says one word, and it was like manna, just pow. And the one word was something that every one of us will relate to. Is we can't stand it, but God uses it all the time. Paul in this moment was in a holding pattern. Can y'all relate? As the story goes along, he speaks to one king, one governor, and they like telling him the story of what, and the Jews are telling him he needs to be prosecuted, give him to us, we need to take him over here, and we're going to take care of this. And the whole time, the governor and the people are like, I don't see what he did wrong. Like, I don't really get what's happening. And they're trying to use the law to prosecute Paul. And Paul is doing the most amazing example of how we should, when we're being accused by the world or condemned by the world, he just held fast to what he knew his calling was. He didn't have to defend himself. He didn't have to go eye for eye. He didn't have to demand this or that. He just simply stood on the rock of what it was that God called him to do. And God was going to take care of the rest. And so as he's waiting for this person and this person to basically come and listen to all the information to judge on his faith, he knew the one judge was going to stand before him and lead him in this. And so in that moment where she dropped holding patterns on me, I begin to think of my story, my life, and each and every one of you, of when God has given us a vision of something. God has given us a promise of something. But nothing in our circumstance is showing that.
That's good.
That's a holding pattern, right? We book our flight. Flight says it's supposed to leave at 7 o'clock. It's 7:30. We're on this plane. And we were just riding around. Right? And sometimes we even sit on that plane for an hour. And then we hear, due to maintenance required on this plane, we're going to have to go back to the terminal and get back off of this plane. And you never took your flight yet. That's what's happening to Paul here. Paul is thinking he's going to be judged in this moment and be done with this. And they're like, nah, we're going to send you over here and we're going to talk about it some more. We're going to bring in this king or this person to get their opinion on it. Tell your story again. And that's what's so unbelievable about Paul in this story is that no matter who he had to tell the story to, how many times he had to say it, it was the same thing. Yes, I am Paul, once named Saul. I am a Jew. I did grow up under these traditions, under this religion. I know it. I am a Pharisee of Pharisees. I had my religion. I had my agenda. But then, on the road to Damascus, doesn't that sound familiar? I had an encounter with Jesus. I don't know about you guys, but that's the story of my life. At one point in my life, I knew of religion. I knew of a story. I knew of the Bible. I knew of some of the stories of the Bible. But they were just stories. Actually, I thought it was a book of laws and rules. And things that were telling me what I was doing wrong. That had no power outside of the relationship and the encounter with Jesus. But much like Paul, whenever he encountered Jesus and was blinded, God got me to a point where I'm on my knees crying out to a God, save me. If this is real, meet me here in this moment. And he did. Forever changed my life. And so, in this moment with Paul, we can learn so much from him in his story of his life, how he went from a knower of the law, a knower of everything religious, to a knowing of a God that did everything to just encounter, have relationship, and restore that relationship. And so, no matter what you're dealing with in your life, no matter how grim it is, no matter how dark it is, how hard it is, I want us to cling to these stories in the Bible, like Paul right here, that is simply saying, no matter how long you have to wait, no matter how hard it gets, the story is not a story. It is our experience with God that says, no matter what you're going through, he's going to use it for his good, your good, and the glory of God.
Amen.
There you go.
For such a time.
Such a time. In all things. Now listen, this sounds real easy to say from that, from the outside. But when we're in that moment, when we're in that feels like dark place, we're in that valley, it's not easy. And we have forces against us, outward opposing forces, and also inward opposing. Our flesh, the external circumstances, and then the enemy at hand. All those things are in this circumstance right here. But the one defining thing that stands above all is the persistence that Paul had right here, that each and every one of us have to cling to in those times when it's a fork in the road. And at any moment, I think to myself, put yourself in this seat of Paul. And the accusations and the things that are being said against Paul and the things that were to come to Paul could have simply all been wiped away by just him saying, nah, you know what? I'm tripping. I don't know what I drank over there in Damascus. That shiny light, man, it was just a bright day. I had like sand in my eye or something. I don't know. Y'all right.
I lie.
And listen, everything went back to normal. The religious leaders would have been all right, yeah, whew, man, but you was tripping, you know? Acting like you had an encounter with the God we're actually serving. I mean, how crazy is this, y'all? The Jewish leaders were wanting to kill this man and stop him from actually spreading the message that they all spent their entire life learning about, reading about, a God that they had all been worshiping, building monuments and towers to, dedicating their whole life to the religion of serving this God. But when someone actually encountered God and started to break down their religion and traditions and their level of importance to actually be a servant of God and have relationship with God, all they wanted to do was stop that. How crazy is that? That tells you how much they were missing it. And thank God that someone like Paul that had the encounter with him. Because I think to myself sometimes, how many of some of those Jewish leaders, these Pharisees, how many of them actually had a moment? Do you think Paul is the only one that had an encountering moment with God? I find it hard to believe that it was. I believe in moments. These men in these temples, in these time, in this word, this living word, the same word that we sit on today, they had that same access to those, to that scripture. The scripture we say that is alive, right? A living word that's been here since the beginning of time. They had that. Now, they didn't have it on their phone at their command. But whatever version of it they had it, right? It's never changing. The never changing word, everlasting word. It was there. They had it. I can't in my any part of me believe that they didn't have moments where they encountered the realness of it. What stopped them? Fear stopped them. Tradition stopped them. I tell you, I was having a conversation on the ride to school this morning with my little girl over talking about Santa Claus. And lately, she's been bringing up how with talking with friends or people, she's been taking this view that somehow she was robbed from the experience of playing Santa and all that. Because when I encountered Jesus 12 years ago, my little girl was 14, my little girl was 2, I didn't see a place in my house that I was going to continue a tradition that we was going to make Christmas the most magical story, most important moment in history, that Jesus would be born to save our souls. That I'm going to somehow take that story and put a replacement of some fat man in a suit, and somehow I'm going to tell her for however many years till she's older that this fat man slides down the chimney and brings presents. If you're good, and if you're bad, he's not. I'm going to tell her that it's about that for 10 years. And then when she's 10 years old, I'm going to say, nah, just playing.
That was a lie.
This is now the story. So I took a hard stance on that, which was against tradition, which completely pissed my parents off because of tradition. And we had some disputes over that. But anyway, that's the defiance that Paul had in that moment there. And that's the defiance we all have to have against the tradition.
Yeah.
We should, even when it comes to our faith we shouldn't drag tradition around. If God is today the same God that he was then, and he's alive, and he wants every part of us, he wants us to renew our mind daily, then there should be nothing we did yesterday that we're just going to wake up to do today that doesn't have intentionality in him in it. And so I'm coming to school this morning with her, and she's saying this sob story, and I had enough of it, and I was like, we need to talk this out, because what I feel that I see happening is that I came up in a tradition of this, which had no God in it. I brought you up in a way that we made Christmas, made the main thing the main thing. Now listen, I wasn't no hard brute. We were not Taco Santa. This is not, listen, we could watch Santa Claus movies all day if we want, okay? We could play pretend, whatever. But we're gonna absolutely celebrate the birth of Jesus in this house. We were gonna sing Jesus, baby Jesus, happy birthday in this house, because that's what we're celebrating. I don't care what day of the week it really happened on. I don't care what month it really happened on. This is the day we're choosing to celebrate that. We're not caught into the worldly tradition of that December 25th is no. We probably know if we talk to theologians, it's not December 25th is his birthday, but it does, that's not what matters. What matters is that the Advent season is the season of the coming of our Lord Jesus that was born in a manger, and we believe all that, right? We 100% accept that. And so that boldness of standing on your relationship with God has to supersede any thought processes you have, beliefs you have, or traditions you start to build. We got to subject ourselves to him to radically change what we thought yesterday about God. Guess what? We have yet to even begin to understand the beginnings of what God is to us and the wholeness that we have. I don't know if any of you have had a chance lately at Bible studies to get to hear from Hadley. Hadden? Listen, y'all. Much like Eric, when the Holy Spirit started to touch him in a new way and he speak, and it was literally every time Eric would speak, my hair would stand up on in my arms, because I knew it was something more than just word vomit or something he read in a book. He was having an encounter with Jesus. Hadden is having a full encounter with Jesus. So if you have access to any of the other Bible studies where he's been speaking at, or if you have a chance to attend, do so.
It's on my site. I put it up.
Good, yeah. Good. Because listen, y'all, that's the type of radical transformation that we all have access to. I'm at a stage now where I want the fullness of God. I want the promises of God. And the only way that I'm going to have that or share that with others is that we take away our chewed up, spit out baby version of God, and we begin to encounter God in a way that actually allows us to not look the same. We should not speak the same. We should not walk the same. We should not look the same when we're encountering Jesus every single day, because he wants us newly every day, brought closer and closer to him. That's what this should be. That's what our Bible study should be. It should be a renewing of our understanding of and our experiences with him, not a dumbed down religious version of it. And that's what the Jewish leaders in this story were wanting. This is safe. This is what we know, we think we know, but they're going to just stand on we know about God. This is who God is, and if we know it and we hold it, everyone else has to come to us to get it. It was a power trip. The real relationship with God says every single one of us have a place and a part of the body. We all have equal access to him, and we're all in him fully sons of Christ, son of God, brethren together, equal. If we each individually reach and grab for that wholeness, then we can actually all impact and have the purpose on life that we're called to have. If not, it's like looking at someone else that's getting it, and we're all like, oh wow, that looks so good. I want a piece of that. But we sit in our seat and we don't experience it. We don't realize we have that same exact access that lives inside of us. The same God that lives inside of Jesus, the wholeness that he is, the perfectness that is, we have that inside of us. Every one of us has that. It doesn't matter how much you read your Bible, how much you know the stories, if you don't tap into that relationship with him, if you don't sit in that encounter with him, then you're going to read about the Ten Commandments, you're going to read about this, you're going to read about that, and you're going to strive to maybe look more like that. But it's going to be dead, y'all. It's going to just be dirty rags. It's never going to be fruitful. More of him, less of you. That has to be the goal every single day, is to fill more of your life with him. And know that you have every bit of that already in you. You don't have to earn it. You don't have to mimic it. Absolute perfection lives inside of you.
Believe it.
Amen. Rest.
I thank you, Lord. I thank you for bringing us together today. I thank you for this season that we can slow ourselves down, Lord, in our own ambitions, our own chasing of things, Lord, and put you first. In reality, we should do this daily, every moment of every day, every decision made, every act of kindness, everything we do should be what you tell us to do, Lord, nothing more. I ask that every one of these men today, let this word set deeply in their heart. Let it not be information, but transformation. That they have the perfect Christ living inside of them. To put on that image. To allow that to shine through them. And to remove anything that speaks against that. Any thoughts that speak against that, let them walk in their boldness, their wholeness, in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen. Amen. Amen.